Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them and everybody else in between, throwing it down on the Friday night free shows. The Los Angeles Clippers throw down the Dallas Mavericks. They go street and it works. The more trash that the Clippers talked, the more that the Dallas Mavericks backed off, as it is a lesson in playoff basketball 101 that Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis are learning right now. The Dallas Mavericks are a couple of players away, but the future is bright for the Mavericks, but it appears as though that this series is all but done. The Clippers are cranking it up a notch, a very unlikable Los Angeles Clipper basketball team at that. National Basketball Association action today. The Philadelphia 76ers, one loss away from a complete meltdown. And as we heard in level one from Big Man on Campus in Philadelphia, rock bottom for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I think it will be rock bottom after they get swept. You know, listen, I brought this up earlier. Teams are going to battle and teams will show pride when they're down 3-0. But when you've been in a bubble for like 73 days or whatever, and, you know you can't win without, like, home fans, and there's no home court, and it's over, then I tell you what, the bags are already packed. As Kevin Bieksa said the other night about the Washington Capitals, they had their Gucci bags packed and ready to go. They didn't bring their lunch pails. They brought their Gucci bags. All right, so the Toronto Raptors, they bring their lunch pail to work every damn time they step on a basketball court. 117-92, they throttle Brooklyn. But a wise man in the radio industry once said many years ago, don't tell me what already happened. Tell me what's going to happen. Any idiot can tell you the scores. We got to tell you the scores of the games that haven't happened yet. We're going to bang on the Milwaukee Bucks and the Orlando Magic, the Pacers and the Heat. The Heat are just dominating this series. How about Utah, man? Utah are a better basketball team than I thought they were. Than I think they're a better basketball team than you thought they were as well. They got to roll out that stupid bright orange jersey more, too, just to mix it up. You know, Utah always have crappy jerseys, and this one might be flashy and ugly, but it's different. It's new, all right? And your other jerseys never worked for you. How about the Houston Rockets, too? Are the Rockets a team that actually can make the finals? More basketball talk with Big Man on Campus. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table. with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
All right, we asked you guys on Twitter to follow me on Twitter, at Sports Rage. I asked you guys on Twitter, who do you like to win the series between the New York Islanders and the Philadelphia Flyers? So far, we've got 136 responses. We just threw this out here a couple of minutes ago, right at the start of the show. It's buried because my Twitter is blowing up here this evening with this Montrezl Harrell stuff. And I hate it. I hate tweeting about that because now I got a bunch of people whose takes I hate agreeing with me. That's the problem. Thanks, Montrezl, for putting me in this spot. But I call it like I see it, no matter what side of the aisle that I see it on. But 60% right now, 60% of our respondents are taking the New York Islanders over the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't know if it's a bunch of Montreal Canadian fans that are responding, but I tell you, big man, it goes to show. And you know my followers know hockey. Excuse me. You know my followers know hockey. Less than impressed even after the Flyers win. New York Islanders and the Flyers, guys, it's going to be low-scoring games, just like this Canadian series was. And for the love of God, guys, I don't know how the hell this game stayed under today, under 5.5 tonight, this hockey game. It was 3-2 after the second period, and it ends up staying under. So big man on campus kicking it with us right now. I want to, you know what? It's time to start talking some football. That's right, guys. The NFL is less than 3 weeks away. It doesn't feel like it because there's no preseason and stuff. And, you know, I do believe that the NFL will start. But I think it'll be like baseball. I think football will start, and the NFL's not invincible. I know, like, they talk about their shield, but they're not invincible. And I think they'll start the season, but it'll happen where, you know what I mean, on a Friday you're going to find out, all right, the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, have a COVID outbreak, so the Bengals game's canceled. Yet not every game will be canceled. I think that's the way it'll be in college football as well. They'll play, but there will be some cancellations along the way. Something to think about. But nevertheless, it's less than 3 weeks away now, guys. So it is time to start talking about it, and specifically talking about how we want to approach this from a betting perspective, as far as win totals, futures, and how you want to approach that this year. But before we get into that, big man, just tomorrow's NBA card. Anything catch your eye on Saturday's NBA card?
Yeah, you know, I think the Pacers-Heat game is interesting. You know, the Heat have been in control of this series. Both games have been somewhat close, but close enough where Miami's been able to kind of put a kibosh on it and get the job done. It just seems like the Heat just kind of own the Pacers. T.J. Warren's not been his usual self in the bubble against the Heat. Just
it
really
feels
seems like
Boston,
they're the better
Philly.
Version of what the
It looks like Boston, yeah, Philly, where the Pacers are sort of there, but they're not really there. You know what I mean? They are, but they're not. And then Miami just pull away late.
Yeah, and that's kind of what's happened. I think the first game was a little bit of an outlier just because Oladipo didn't really play. But the Pacers are really missing Sabonis. I think he would be big in this series if they were able to have him, but they don't. I'm actually looking at this game, though, and saying to myself, you know, for as bad as the Pacers have played offensively, and they didn't have Oladipo in game one, they've still scored 101 and 100. And I know that's not a lot, but you look at the team total tomorrow for the Pacers, only 104.5. You've got to figure the Pacers are going to be a bit better offensively. Oladipo's finally back healthy. They were actually balanced scoring the other night. They had five guys that scored 15 points or more. They just need a little bit more from the bench. The problem the Pacers have, Gabe, is their bench is bad. I mean, I don't want to see Doug McDermott in the game again. I mean, Doug McDermott is just useless. They need to get a little bit more
Dougie
Buckets. Jamar Sampson and Yeah, he's not that anymore. But I think the Pacers, for as bad as they've been, I still think they can eclipse this. They're going to really have to give all they can tomorrow. I think 104.5 is just a little low. For most of that game in game two, I thought the Pacers actually played pretty well. It was only until the late second quarter, Nate McMillan just kept the starters on the bench way too long, and Miami kind of looked up and never looked back. But that game was pretty close, really, up until halftime and even into the third quarter. So I'm willing to think that the Pacers can find a way over 104.5. I think they touch 107, 108 here. I think it's a close game. If the Pacers, and there's going to be a team to give a last stand down 2-0, I think it's Indiana. Miami will win likely and maybe even cover, but I think we get a better offensive performance and get over 104.5 here.
I like where you're going with that. And you know what? I think the Pacers do have pride as well. I think they do have pride. I don't think they're going to roll over. Like, to them, the Sixers are going to bed tonight in a bubble knowing. Like, right now, the Sixer players, they're not together. They're probably on the phone. They're doing whatever, FaceTime with people, telling people, yeah, I'm out of here in about 48 hours. And it's going to be like jail, big man. Yeah, meet me outside the bubble here. I'll see you at the Orlando airport. Yeah, I mean, they're calling girls, and they're setting things up. Right now, the Pacer players, they're thinking, we're winning this game tomorrow. Like, we're not going down 3-0. Like, the Pacers haven't quit. They're not rolling over. They've been in it. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win it, but they're going to try. And I think they play better, too. I'm tempted by the 5 points with them. But you know where I'm going to go with this? And I like where you're going with the over there with their team total. I'm going to look at them in the first quarter. The Pacers have to play desperate. They know this. They have to come out urgent. They can't spot the Heat. Like, if you're the Pacers, you need a game where you get up 27-14 and just sort of cruise. You know what I mean? You need to come out hot. You can't be chasing them. I think the Pacers do that. I think they respond. I'll take the Pacers in the first quarter here, big man. I'm getting the Pacers plus 1.5 in the first quarter. Give me the Pacers 1.5 first quarter. I like your team total over as well.
Yeah, you know, you look at the first two games in this series, actually, the Pacers were in the lead and both for first quarters, surprisingly enough. So, yeah, I think you're onto something there. You know, you have to figure they've actually played really well in the first quarter in this series, and it's really kind of a do or die. But I just look at for how poor they were in game one without Oladipo. They still scored 101, and then they scored, you know, 100 the other night. They're right there at that number, you know, right around 104.5. I think they do enough to get up and over that tomorrow. And, you know, I also know that I don't think Duncan Robinson is going to score 24 tomorrow. The Pacers were actually quite good defensively in that game the other night. So, you know, if I had to bank on a spot for them to cash, I think tomorrow would be it. And at 5, it's kind of in that no man's land where I feel like books kind of are in agreement here that the Pacers probably hang around and do enough to cover. But I think your first quarter is a nice play. They've been good at both first quarters and both two games here.
Big man on campus kicking it. What is he? You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Nadeau. So, big man, I'm not going to say I overestimated the Oklahoma City Thunder, because the Oklahoma City Thunder were a great team this year, but they're not playing very good basketball right now. They're not in sync. And you're taught, you know, you look, there's some teams that, you know, the New York Islanders and hockey are a great example. The Islanders were in a free fall, bro. They were like 2-15 or something in the 17 games before the pandemic. Like, they were falling apart. They wouldn't even made the playoffs if, like, the league didn't shut down. They were, like, completely falling apart. The league shuts down. They get into playoffs, and now they're into the second round, right? So it's weird how it works. But the Oklahoma City Thunder were, like, the hottest team in the NBA. They were the best team against the spread. Everything was just going their way. They're off for 4.5 months. They can't get their offense going now. So maybe I misread this series. I thought Oklahoma City Thunder could beat Houston. I don't think they can after watching it. Too many isolated shots. There's no ball movement. They're not playing good defense. Houston's spread offense seems to be confusing them. Billy Donovan doesn't have an answer for it. I could go on here. But I think, you know, I didn't underestimate Houston, big man, in a sense, because I like the small ball. And even after the trade, I got it. I said Capella was just in their way. I understand what they're doing here. I get it. And it was working for them. Who, I've never been a big James Harden fan. I've always thought he's kind of a clown that just scores and stuff. But I got to give the man his props, bro. He's playing D. He's getting back. He's not just, like, taking bad shots. I underestimate, like, Houston are balling right now. Are you buying into the Rockets, or it's just because of the matchup? Are you buying into this team at all now?
Well, if PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon's been terrific. 36 points in two games. I mean, that's what you need out of Eric Gordon without Westbrook there. They're getting balanced scoring. The fourth quarter the other night for the Thunder was laughable. I don't know what they were doing in the second half. 39 points combined in the second half. We'll get into it, I'm sure, more on the other side. But, yeah, Rockets
are playing well. We got to get some NFL as well. Sports Rage late night. Right game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
All right, shout out to our boy Vetra. Brooklyn in the house. So we got Brian Rowe in the house here. Rutgers repping. See, Rowe's getting into it with someone in the chat right now. Don't tell me to settle down, Corey. I see Rowe in our chat, big man. Good to see you, Rowe. Rutgers Rowe throwing it down. New Jersey rep. We got a full house, full chat here. Worldwide rage. Big man on campus kicking it with us. All right, so I do want to get into some NFL talk here, but let's just blast through the NBA card tomorrow morning. And you know, the games, get the schedule. And I say the morning for those of you on the West Coast. It's an early start, 10 a.m. Milwaukee Bucks and Orlando. Milwaukee finally woke up. They're laying 12 points in this game. We talked about the Pacers and Miami. That game's up at 3:30 Eastern time. 6 o'clock Eastern, the Houston Rockets. Oklahoma City as well. I don't think Oklahoma City are going to roll over, but trying and winning are two different things. What do you make of this? You know, do you trust Oklahoma City to bring it? Can they do enough to beat Houston? Do they have it? It seems like a stylistic nightmare matchup for them.
Yeah, and I mean, I was one of the people, I was in agreement with you. I was under the impression that I didn't really understand why the Thunder were a dog in this series. You know, they were getting, you know, Schroeder back, and, you know, that starting five of Gallinari, Alexander, Adams, Paul, and Schroeder is just terrific. But, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, the second half the other night for the Thunder was a mess. They only scored 39 points in two quarters. And you're right, it does seem like a stylistic matchup. It just doesn't seem like they seem real comfortable. Defensively, they've not been real good. They've given up 123 and 111. And like I said, you know, you're getting great contribution out of Houston. You look at the other night, I mean, you're getting a ton out of Eric Gordon. Guys like Jeff Green are stepping up. Ben McLemore has been good. You know, they're just doing a great job with the small ball. And you even look at Steven Adams. Steven Adams even had 8 points, Gabe, in 30 minutes. That's not good for Steven Adams. That's not normal. They just seem kind of off balance. It just doesn't seem like a good matchup. They were outscored, you know, 58-39 in the second half the other night. Just not good enough. They really just haven't seemed comfortable in either game. I have a hard time getting involved in this series because I don't love Houston either. So I'm going to just kind of stay away from this one.
You know, and you know, I don't think it's Steven Adams' fault in per se, where it's like, oh, Steven Adams is struggling or Steven Adams is sucking. I think it's a case in which Steven Adams has a bunch of 6'3", 6'4" dudes that are like Speedy Gonzalez running around. And He even said, he goes, they've got us running around chasing them. And that's up to Billy Donovan. He just doesn't seem to have. The only thing you can do, and I know it was Van Gundy who brought it up. I think it was Stan, not Jeff. But anyways, the only thing you can do, really, you've got to get in Houston's face right away. Like, you've got to play like a full court press almost. Not literally, but you can't let them spread out and set up, because if they do, you're screwed. They're a good passing team. You know, we talked about Philadelphia and the team chemistry. Houston's a complete opposite. You can just tell, like, they all like each other and they're all on the same page. And you know what I mean? Like, you could just tell the body language and stuff. They remind me of one of those teams in the tournament, that basketball tournament. They're just a bunch of dudes that are scrapping and bawling, and it's a load to deal with. Like, they're not intimidated. You know, we'll see if a big man, as they move forward, if somebody, you know, if they can deal, if another team can impose their will on them.
At what point, I mean, do you start to look at Billy Donovan and say, you know, at what point is he going to get it done? I mean, this is three straight years. This will be four straight years if they lose the series that they're out in the first round. I mean, he just hasn't been – I feel like he's been really outcoached in two games.
He can't get him over the top. You're right. He does a great job coaching during the season and stuff, but then it hits the wall, right?
Doesn't get him over,
But how about this? And I don't like throwing players under the bus as much as you do, but – how about Chris Paul, bro? Like, Chris Paul's playoff failures, you know what I mean? Like, how about he steps up a bit here, too? You know what I mean? You and Harden don't like each other. Harden's killing you right now. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Chris Paul.
Yeah, he is.
Chris Paul's a big star, makes the most money, and he makes a ton of money, man. Like, nearly 50. Like, he makes a ton of money, this guy. He's like the highest paid player in the NBA, yet he's just always one of the guys suddenly in the playoffs. It's a team sport in the playoffs, but he wants the most money. And I'm not throwing him under the bus either. I'm not blaming him, but I'm just stating, at some point, you got to win, too. You talked about Billy Donovan. You know, Chris Paul doesn't have a lot of playoff success. All right, Lakers, Blazers, before we get into the NFL here. Lakers, Blazers. I don't want to overreact. I mean, the Lakers look good in game two, but at the same point in time, we all know that the Blazers had a game like this coming. You know, they were 8-2 in the 10 games leading up to that game. Every one of the games had been competitive, intense. They were playing for their playoff lives. Then they kept it rolling. So, you know, I'm not surprised that they actually had a blowout loss in them. Now it'll be interesting to see how they respond. And a lot of people, they're done right now. Lillard's finger is fine, big man. It's his left finger that he dislocated it. So I guess, he's playing. You know what I mean? And he should be able to shoot the ball. He's going to have to deal a little discomfort, but he's a tough dude. I'm not ready to write the Blazers off, but I'm not going to lie. Tomorrow night's a big game for them. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the make or break game in the series, because it's starting to feel like the Lakers are really taking control here. I mean, I think you were dead right. You know, it kind of seemed like the Portland Trailblazers were going to put up a game like they did, but you know, you're starting to see a game. I mean, they've been terrible on offense in this series so far. You know, they're starting to come back to earth. I mean, Damian Lillard's come back to earth just a bit. Carmelo Anthony's been terrible. McCollum looks like he's hurt. He didn't play well the other night. Nurkic was a complete mess. And you got to wonder, you know, what was Lillard in the game for? I mean, and then Terry Stotts, you know, offers nothing as far as a response. I thought that was weak. You know, it was a great question by the reporter. You know, they weren't good the other night. They quit. They didn't have much energy. They just seemed like they threw the game away. It's going to be a real question. I think you're right with Lillard. I think he'll be fine. I'm just waiting for these two teams, Gabe, to just kind of show out on offense. I think they have a ton of talent. You look at during the season, they were high-scoring games. I don't think the Lakers are as good as defensively as they've made it look like in this series. I didn't think they would guard Lillard, but they've done a nice job. You wonder if this is just going to be a series where you wait for something and it just never comes. Is Portland just are what they are? Maybe the Lakers are just a bad stylistic matchup. You have to figure, though, they're not going to shoot 8 for 29 from 3. Lillard's going to be better. Nurkic is going to be more of a factor. You look at in two games in the series, Gabe, the Portland Trailblazers have shot 21 for 63 from 3. It's not good enough. They need to be better. The Lakers haven't shot well either. You're just waiting for that game to figure it out. This total's at 224.5, a big drop from where it was on Wednesday night or whenever that was. I have a weird feeling we're going to find a game where these two teams are going to show out at some point.
It gets there.
It could be tomorrow night, but
Saturday night, prime time.
I just don't.
Yeah, this is the one where it gets. This is the one where it's 116, 113 late and stuff like that. This is the one that it gets there.
Gabe, I do want to say one other thing, and this is important. I mentioned this on Twitter earlier. The NBA playoffs have been incredibly bad. I mean, none of the games have been close. Coming into tonight, as far as after the early game today, 8 of the last 9 games had been decided by 13 points or more. I mean, it's just
separation time, big man, now. You know what? Look at this sort of like early tournament games. Like, now reality is setting in. It's like, yeah, guys, good for you, what you did before. Like, now, like, you know what I mean? Nice story, Brooklyn, but the Raptors are just killing them. You know what I mean? Yeah, cute story, guys, but boring as hell. Like you said, it's like, oh, God, like, I'm a Raptor fan, and I have a hard time watching these games. I just enjoy it because the Raptors are rolling, but I totally get it. It'll get better, like, as the teams come on. So the NFL, guys, less than 3 weeks away right now. We've got a couple of minutes here, big man. We'll hit this more on Sunday, NFL talk with big man on Sunday night. So the NFL is around the corner. I was just thinking, actually, too. It's trickier this year with the NFL in a sense. No preseason games. I've been watching the NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, UFC, etc. So we don't know as much. I don't, you know what I mean? I followed a little bit. I know about the Bills camp a bit. I know about the Giants camp a bit. But I'm not seeing the preseason. I'm not seeing the same football coverage. And then, boom, out of the gate. We're going to be playing real football in a couple of weeks, big man. But I tell you what. And for the record, if you're tuning in and you don't know, I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. If you're a new listener, and this isn't a homer pick, but, you know, if the Bills don't win, you know, I tell you what, I'm going to be like you with the Sixers. If the Bills don't win a division this year, bro, like, I give up. Like, come on. If we can't, the 8 guys have opted out due to COVID. They lost Tom Brady. If we can't win this year, big man, we got a freaking problem, bro. Bills are going to win the AFC East this year.
No, I actually wanted to mention them. I actually grabbed them today at 28-1 to win the Super Bowl. I think they, you know, I look for value. I don't always bet the big teams, but I'm looking at value, and I think this is a really good roster. I think Josh Allen could have an MVP candidate type of season. I really believe this kid. You know, I don't think he's ever going to be that pinpoint passer, but he's got a great nature down the field. I think he's a guy that can use his legs to create. I think he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder after last year's fiasco against Houston.
Learning experience.
I really
you need
look
that.
Forward to
learning
him.
Experience. You need that stuff to learn, to grow in the playoffs.
I think defensively they're one of the stingiest teams in the league. I really like what they have at the receiver position. I was just begging them to go out and grab a receiver. Give your big quarterback a player, and I like the Cole Beasley move last year in the slot. Stephon Diggs, you know, all of a sudden they have a terrific receiver core. I like the running back group. I think their defense is as good as it gets. I'm sure we'll talk more on Sunday about it, but I love the Bills. I want to talk Cowboys as well on Sunday. I think they're a sleeper Super Bowl candidate as well.
Buffalo Bills plus 125 right now to win the AFC East. The Patriots are still favorites right now. Jared Stidham's hurt. They've got no players. Yeah, Belichick's a genius and all that, but still, they're plus 115. One thing about the Bills' schedule is tough. It is tough, man. It just flew by, as always, big man. We'll catch up with you Sunday night. Always a pleasure, my man.
Look forward to it. See you, Ben.
Sports Rage Late Night continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Sports Rage Late Night continues, 844-843-6879. Vent your rage. Friday night freak show. Man, this show has just flown by. And, man, it was nice to talk a little football, even though we only talked NFL football for a moment there. We're going to start getting into the NFL moving forward. We'll have to find time for it. It's less than 3 weeks away right now. And as we stated, It's a different situation. Normally you see teams in preseason, you see, all right, this running back's good. This guy might get cut. you could really get a feel for teams through the training camps and the preseason. Yet a lot of this stuff is limited right now. And also, the NFL has restricted media reports. Basically, they're treating training camp like regular season weeks because there's no preseason. So basically, the media is not allowed to report like depth charts. So we don't even know depth charts, guys. So like basically, the media is not allowed to say, oh, this receiver is now working with the first team and stuff, because it's all confidential, because they don't have a preseason and they're going to be coming running out of the gate running. You know there's going to be a ton of injuries in week one, too, because of this, because there's no preseason, right? So, and don't think the NFL is invincible from coronavirus. But the league will go on. My prediction is the league will go on, but we'll have some canceled games. I don't think the league will fall apart and the sky will fall, but I think it'll be like, all right, the Jets and Bengals game's canceled and whatever. It'll be like that, sort of like Major League Baseball. You know, they've lost a couple of games. I think it'll go better to Major League Baseball just because I think the NFL is taking it seriously. All right, so we're going to get into some NFL predictions. Can't wait to pull the trigger on some NFL bets. We've got AFL bets for the late-night degenerate gamblers. Some AFL football. NFL football is not the only football in the world. Mick Aussie steps up and in, hopefully with some winners this evening. Mick, how you doing tonight on this Friday Night Freak Show?
Yeah, I'm doing well, mate. I went and watched the Aussie football here and the game right now. I went for the Dogs. They were underdogs by 5.5, and they're beating the Demons at three-quarter time by about 26. So I've done well so far. I hope the Doggies, hope they hang on, mate, against Clam Chowder's Demons. I hope they hang on. But, yeah, the NFL's going to be crazy. I think the stories between the weeks, it's going to be more exciting than the games. But anyway, yeah, Aussie footy, round 13, mate, 5 rounds to go, 17 total this year. And then the playoffs.
All right. Western Bulldogs right now are up 65-38. They're throttling Melbourne, as Mick just alluded to. So which one of the games are like big? Which are the critical, most important games as far as the standings are concerned this week?
Well, this is it. Dogs and Demons, they're both a chance for the eight. And they're up and down, both teams. But I just had a feeling on the Dogs, so hopefully they hang on. But, yeah, there's quite a few games might be big winners this week. But, yeah, that was a tough one. The Dogs and the Demons was a tough one of the week.
And I'll tell you what, you look, so the top eight teams make the playoffs, guys, in the AFL. And you look at eighth place right now, Mick. So seventh place, Collingwood, 26 points. Melbourne, 24 points in eighth place. Carlton, 24. Great Western Sydney, 24. The Bulldogs, 24. Essendon, 22. It's a logjam, so pretty much every one of these games is important this week. We got a logjam here to try to crash the party and make the playoffs. My West Coast Eagles comfortably sitting at 8-3 right now. Nice 8-3 record. All right, Mick, so let's get into the games here. So next game up, Port Adelaide and the Hawthorne Hawks. The power. Fight the power. Fight the power to be. Port Adelaide, what's your take on this game?
Oh, mate, the power. Paps, they had a big win against the Tigers 2 weeks ago. Then they got
28.5 point favorites. 28.5 point favorites.
They got smashed by the Cats last week. Hawks have lost some really important players. O'Meara and Sicily and Gunston and Frawley are all out. Power's got Ebert and Westhoff back in. I like the power to win and win well. I would take the power on the minus on that one. They should recover and smash the Hawks, mate, who are going bad.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm taking. I'm jumping in. I'm going to take Port Adelaide, but I'm a big. I'm a big wuss, Mick. So. I'm bald, so I don't have a man bun, but I might as well because I'm putting them on in a money line multi, all right? Money line parlay. Well, we'll start off with Port Adelaide here, all right? Essendon and Richmond, same thing. We've got Richmond, big favorites against, big favorites against Essendon, laying a ton of points here. What's your take on this one?
Yeah, mate, this game is up in Darwin, the very top of Australia, because it's the Indigenous round to to honour all the native, the Aboriginal players, and there's some fantastic native players in the AFL, and a lot of them come from up in Darwin, so that game's up there. Tigers should win it. Oh, plus and minus, yeah, about the 25 mark. Put the Tigers in the money line multi. Bombers are up and down. Got some injuries, but they got Jake Stringer back. He's a good player. Take the Tigers to win that. And, well, the plus minus, I'd keep away from that. Put the Tigers in your multi.
Yeah, Richmond are 23.5-point favorites. For the record, Richmond are in sixth place right now. It's a big game for these guys. Guys, they, like we said, the only top eight teams make it to the playoffs. So they're in sixth place, 7-4, 7 wins, 4 losses, 1 draw so far this year, taking on the Essendon Bulldogs. Essendon Bombers, excuse me, 5-5-1. 5-5-1, and the Bulldogs are right there with a 6-6 record. So all these games are big. I'm going to put it in a parlay, Mick. So let's build this parlay, all right? So we got Port Adelaide, now we got Richmond, which leads us into a tougher match here. The Dockers, Fremantle, and the Swans. Fremantle versus Sydney. Fremantle, 10.5-point favorites, Mick, in this game. Who do you like?
Yeah, I like the Dockers. The Swans actually surprised their rivals in Sydney last week. They played in Perth because of COVID. So the Swans beat the Greater Western Sydneys, which was a huge shock. They're young kids. But the Dockers aren't bad, mate. They're on the up. I like the Dockers, probably because it's in Perth, but that didn't affect the Swans last week. Take the Dockers on that one, probably on the minus, but really, Dockers are a chance, outside chance to make the eight, but not really. So take the Dockers, but, you know, not much of a game. Swans have got Kennedy back in and Rampy out. So, yeah, I'd probably keep away from that one, but I do have the Dockers as the fifth leg in my multi that we can talk about at the end.
No, man, the Fremantle Dockers and the Sydney Swans is like a Washington Redskins Cleveland Brown game. It sucks. They're both 4-7. They're both bad teams. Neither of them are making the playoffs. It's not happening. Bad game. I'm going to pass on this one. Next one. Your Adelaide. This is how bad things have become for your Crows, Mick. You're now 38-point underdogs. 38.5-point underdogs against the Geelong Cats. I'll put the Cats in a parlay here. So now we're at minus 218. What do you think about your Crows? Can they cover 38.5 points?
No. No. The teams haven't been released yet. The Cats will probably rest a few players, but they'll probably still smash the Crows. The Crows can only play for a half and then only just maybe do okay. We are terrible. We're 0-11. I would get rid of the coach, even though he's a first-year coach. Taylor Walker's 200th game, but I'm not a massive fan of him. Just wait for the lineups to come out and see how many players the Cats are resting, but I think the Cats will win and probably win very well. So take the Cats on the minus. But looking at the odds, it's not even worth putting them in a multi, mate.
For the record, yeah, Adelaide lost last week by 57. So they lost by 57 last week. They lost 111 to 54. They lost 62 to 38 the week before that. So 24. They lost 88 to 37. They got smashed by 51. North Melbourne really killed them. They lost by 69 to the Kangaroos. They lost by 69 there. In the multi it goes. So that's a three-team banger right there. That's a three-team banger, guys. This is if you want to win, all right? So Port Adelaide to win the game, Port Adelaide, Richmond, and Geelong, all right? This is for you you novices out there. So I know Mick can be hard to understand sometimes. Port Adelaide on the money line, Richmond on the money line, Geelong money line. Now that's at minus 218 right now. You know what? Let's throw the Milwaukee Bucks in there for good measure. So let me just throw the Bucks in here, see what happens. That's the first game up tomorrow, Milwaukee Bucks, money line. All right, that's in. Hey, suddenly it becomes minus 164. Not bad. I like it. Minus 164, I'm in. All right, Mick, so what else? Let's. We only got a couple of minutes here, so let's rattle off the rest of the games this week. So we're up to... Adelaide and Geelong, Brisbane and St. Kilda. Brisbane, 14.5-point favorites.
Yeah, really good games up in the Gabba. So the Lions are looking good, mate. The grand final might be held in Brisbane because Melbourne's COVID infested and they're all in lockdown. All the teams are out and up in Queensland. Saints are good, though, mate. Saints are on the up. They play an impressive game. I would take the Lions to win. I think the Lions will win and then put a little bit on the Saints to cover the plus 15.5. So that's the second best game of the week, this one.
I agree with you on that pick. I wouldn't put Brisbane in a money line parlay. I think it's going to be a tight game. I would lean the same thing with the Saints here. St. Kilda plus 14.5. And finally, the great, legendary and iconic West Coast Eagles. 17.5-point favorites against Great Western Sydney. West Coast are 8-3 on the season. They're in fourth place, but they're trying to catch Geelong. They're trying to stave off St. Kilda. What do you make of this game here, Mick?
Yeah, mate, take the Eagles to win. Probably cover. Giants were terrible last week. They couldn't do a thing. The Eagles have been home for about 6 weeks. Now they're going to, probably next week, they're going to head back to Queensland. They will win this one, probably cover as well. And then the last game, you got the Magpies over the Roos. Take the under in that. Take the Magpies to win, and I'll give you my multis and my best bets now if you're ready.
Bring it on.
All right, Tigers and Power, minus 257. Don't put the Cats in there because you only gain a little bit. And as you know, the Eagles, we put them when they're hot favourites, and so I would keep the Cats out of that. Add the Magpies, gives you minus 109. Add the Eagles, gives you plus 159. Add the Lions, gives you plus 268. And then add the Dockers, gives you plus 481. And my best bets, Cats on the minus, Eagles on the minus, Power on the minus, and Saints on the plus, and the Magpies and Roos on the under. So there's about 10 bets for you, so be careful. But only 5 more weeks left, so the good teams are not going to want to lose.
Let me ask you, Mick. I think we got about a minute left here. Let me ask you, 30 seconds. You're in Edmonton. Do you ever drive past, like, the NHL hub? Or are there people, like, hanging around on the other side of the fence or people lingering around the arena area or anything like that?
I went there about 2 weeks ago on a Saturday. I did a little video outside. There's a few security guards around, but basically one pub had a few people in the patio. But no, you wouldn't even know it was here, mate. So I just hope the Premier didn't pay Gary Bettman any money. I hope they didn't pay my money to Bettman. I don't think they did. But yeah, no, you wouldn't even know it was here, mate, other than watching on TV.
Mick Aussie. Portraits late night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage late night. Quickest 120 minutes in sports. Winds down again. Ultra fast show. Crazy how fast this show went tonight. I wanted to get to something this evening, actually, and this is a question that is that has plagued mankind for forever, and seriously forever. What's the cure for a hangover? What's the cure for a hangover? Now, I'll tell you from my own personal experience, and I have drank a lot in my life, right? So my own personal experience is you need to drink a ton of water before you go to sleep when you're hammered, all right? That's the key. And Gatorade as well. Not just Gatorade, but literally drink like 2 big bottles of water, 2 liters of water and a couple of Gatorades. That's the key. And eating something doesn't hurt either. And you'll soften a blow a little bit, but it looks like they finally might found something. A group in Finland actually have discovered a cure for the hangover that's actually been the most like serious thing that people are like, oh my God, this actually works. A dose of 1,200 milligrams of amino acid L-cysteine was found to reduce alcohol-related nausea and headaches. Well, a dose of 600 milligrams helped alleviate stress and anxiety. According to the Journal of Alcohol and Alcoholism by the researchers of the University of Helsinki. See, these guys are studying, like, this is what you need. The University of Alcoholism. My name is Barney Gumble, and I have a problem. This is a Girl Scouts meeting. Is it, or do you girls, are you girls not admitting that you have a problem? Yeah, so there it is. Simple as that. Amino acid L-cysteine. There you go. I don't even know how to say it. I'm just going to write it down on a piece of paper. I'm going to the pharmacy tomorrow. I'm going to be like, hey, listen, hey, lady, do you have any of this? Because I need it. So there it is. See, I can give you winners, but that's even better. I just gave you the cure for the hangover. Speaking of winners, though, I think Milwaukee throttles Orlando again. We'll take Milwaukee in the first quarter of play. We'll take the Pacers in a first quarter of play. Blazers and Lakers, they're gonna go over the number 224.5. Great job in the pit, Midtown Manhattan. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.